This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A powerful storm toppled power lines in Westminster, Maryland yesterday, trapping people inside 34 cars in an electrical minefield. WJZ-TV reporter Christina Mendez has that.
We're just very fortunate to be alive.
A storm passing through Westminster brought down power lines like dominoes lining Baltimore Boulevard. John Hockman and his wife narrowly missed getting hit.
We saw it coming down, so I asked my wife to back up, and as it was coming down, two little pylons almost came down on us.
Power lines wrapping around their car still caused the couple and dozens of others to be trapped inside for hours, waiting for crews to safely evacuate them by de-energizing and grounding the lines.
A large number of people who served at a missile base in Montana report having cancer. CBS's Matt Piper says there may be a connection to unsafe levels of chemicals there.
A new cleanup effort has been ordered after the Air Force says it's detected unsafe levels of a likely carcinogen at underground launch control centers at a nuclear missile base in Montana. The discovery is part of the military's ongoing investigation after a briefing showed at least 9 current or former missileers at the Maelstrom base were diagnosed with the rare blood cancer non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Now a grassroots group says at least 268 troops who served at 3 nuclear missile sites have self-reported being diagnosed with cancer.
And police in San Antonio have arrested 17-year-old Nathan Cruz, a cousin of the Uvalde, Texas school shooter. Details from reporter Chris Fox.
According to the warrant, the family member also told police she overheard a phone conversation between Cruz and an unidentified person Monday morning, where Cruz said he attempted to acquire an AR-15 through an illegal private sale. Cruz was booked into the Bexar County Jail on Monday afternoon.
Cruz's family reportedly said he was threatening to shoot up a school and kill a family member. Federal prosecutors are asking a judge to limit what Donald Trump can say about his election conspiracy case. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
They're very concerned about how Donald Trump is likely to post things or refer to them on social media, and how that could compromise witness security.
Trump's lawyers are opposing the Justice Department's request for a strict so-called protective order. Space junk from a Russian rocket lit up the night sky over southern Australia.
Biggest light show I've ever seen.
There was just colored lights going everywhere.
Then there was a massive boom.
And a body's been found on the grounds of the Arizona State Capitol in Phoenix. It's the second time that's happened in less than 2 weeks. The body was discovered Monday morning in a parking lot. Agents are working to identify it and try to learn how it ended up where it did. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales. Representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, engineer, and guest co-host on this fabulous Friday, the one, the only, the Lukester, Mr. Luke Mathers. How are you, my friend?
I am thankful that it's Friday.
A very good way to put it. Very TGIF, as a matter of fact. It is Friday, the 28th of July, 2023. Mr. Zommers, take a little time this morning. Going to the UP, as I understand.
Yeah, he a little mixed up on the schedule, but that's okay. It's okay.
He's been working a lot lately.
He has, and so some well-earned time off. His first time, I believe, to the UP, from the way that he described it to me. So I hope he enjoys it, because I go every year. And I love it. You almost have to pull me away from the UP.
You go like to the Porcupine Mountains or whatever that is, or
Keweenaw Peninsula.
That's it.
There we go. close.
The Keweenaw Peninsula.
Keweenaw.
Oh, Keweenaw.
Yeah, Keweenaw Peninsula.
And you camp? Are you an RVer?
No,
are you
it's a cabin. It's a cabin. All right. Yep. Every year since I was
knee high.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So. That is a getaway that the family does still to this day. Cherish the time up there. And so I hope Mr. Zommers, going for a little bit of possibly a wilder time. I don't know. The family can get out of hand sometimes. But Mr. Zommers up there for a friend's bachelor party, my understanding as well.
A bachelor party of the UP. That's unique. And I never heard of one up there before, but I'm sure it's a great time.
Another one of my buddies did it too. Really? Yeah. So it's not all that uncommon, at least for folks that I know.
Well, we appreciate you being here, because without you, he couldn't have gone, or else the thing would just be a replay, because Lord knows Toddy can't run the board.
I mean, what? Come on. You can figure it out.
If we get time today, if we get time in hour two, there is a segment called Todd and Technology.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see if we make it to then. We appreciate Luke being here. He is not only running the board, but he'll be our guest co-host with us as well on a Friday, and happy to have him. We're going to come back in after this break here. And talk about, I know you guys talked about it, you and Will Walters talked about it. I know somebody that's Walters, and so I keep putting the S on. So my apologies to Will.
I just remember it, two first names. So Walter is the first name. Walters is the last name. So Will has got two first names, Will Walter.
See, a young brain like yours, God love you. Will Walter is the guest host with Luke Mathers on Town Call that precedes us each and every day. And you guys are talking about this story, and it is... it's making national headlines. Derek Van Orten, the congressman from the 3rd District of Wisconsin, where I grew up and spent a lot of time helping to elect a lot of Republican candidates in the 3rd District as a former Republican myself until I left the party. That's what he says in 2011. And here's the deal. The guy is a little bit of a loose cannon, to put it lightly. And he has tried to refurbish his image. He's been putting things out on Twitter and Facebook of him in kind of a very Western Wisconsin cap and blue jeans with a golden retriever and literally a flag behind him, visiting a Quick Trip. And, oh, this is just, you know, your Uncle Derek, and he's just a good guy.
You're telling me that all the photographers that were there for the photo op that was unloading the Harley in Washington, D.C. in January, that you're telling me that was staged, Todd? Come on.
I cannot confirm or deny, but that was my guess. But here's the guy. We're going to laugh. It is a little bit laughable. But here's the deal. I think this is not only the most important headline of the week and in recent memory, but this is a dangerous headline because we can laugh about it. I mean, we will. I have no problem with that. But this guy has a pattern of abusive behavior. And as someone who's known people who have unfortunately been close to domestic abuse, this dude has all the classic signs of it. And he is a United States congressman from Wisconsin. You and I have both spent time working in the state capitol as a staffer up there. I on the Senate side, I believe you on the Assembly side.
Yeah, and the staffer is a very generous terminology for me. I was just a little lonely intern.
Well, but you were an intern.
Yes.
You worked up there.
Yes.
I spent much of my adult life working in the state capitol. I also spent 4 years working in the U.S. Capitol in Washington for former Congressman Scott Klug. So I know something about both buildings. I know something about the institutions and what this means. And for a representative in the House to go after someone in the Senate. Institutions, it's very territorial. And for this guy to go after, and we're not talking adults. This guy, Derek Van Orten, went after kids, 16 and 17-year-old kids. And we'll get into some of this reporting after the break. But allegedly, he was also drunk. After seeing several bottles of booze all over his table, it was a picture. And the Republican Party, including former Governor Scott Walker last night and others, took to the Twitter.
I believe it's called X now.
I might be going there. It'll always be Twitter to me. They took to Twitter last night, and they keep focusing on, oh, this is just Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin people, we always, you know, drink, and it wouldn't be a Wisconsin congressman without, you know, a little bit of booze. Well, my former boss, Scott Klug, always kept a six-pack in the fridge in case they lost the majority and they needed to, you know, have the maintenance guys help them out. But I've never seen bottles, multiple bottles of booze and wine in a U.S. congressman or U.S. senator's or anybody else's office. But we're going to put that aside because it's not about that. It's about the fact that a guy who bills himself and is a former Navy SEAL goes after teenagers and uses vulgarity against them. And this is a pattern, this guy. And we're going to have Trygve Olson, who has worked a long time in the 3rd District, is also with the Lincoln Project now nationally. He'll be with us as well in the 1:30 segment. And we're going to discuss this, take your phone calls as well, 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. A calm weather day for your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high 85. Tonight, partly to mostly clear, the low around 60. Heading into Wednesday, we'll start with some sunshine. Clouds will build for the afternoon, a few spotty showers and storms, high 84. Right now, it's 60.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. Luke Mather is our co-host, engineer, producer this fine Friday, and we appreciate you being with us live as well across much of Wisconsin. And let me just, this is the best part. If there's any good about this story, here's what it is. I am fortunate and blessed to work for Civic Media because when things like this happen, here's what we have the ability to do. To spread the truth throughout the 3rd District of Wisconsin. Listen to this coverage. WBZH, Buzz of the North, up in Hayward, which bleeds down into the northern parts of Van Orton's district. WLAK, Lake Air Radio, out of Amory, bleeding down a little bit into Van Orton's district. WCFW, The Tap, in beautiful Chippewa Valley, Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. WLCX, The Eagle, in La Crosse, in the heart of the 3rd District. WXCO, Wausau, bleeding down a little bit. WVHR in Wisconsin Rapids, including Stevens Point. WRCE, sister station to WRCO in Southwest Wisconsin. So this is great. And I want people to call in through anywhere, but I want to hear from people in the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin, where I spent much of my life, where I helped campaign and elect countless Republicans in my time with the Republican Party. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. So let's get into this. Here is what happened. And Punch Bowl News, correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, but they were the first one to report this, and it got picked up and verified by several other news outlets.
I believe Punch Bowl was the first one to have photo evidence of Derek Van Orden's congressional office.
All right.
But I believe the, from my understanding, the one of the Senate pages that was the target of this profanity-laced tirade, that individual took down firsthand account of what was said. I don't even know if they knew who the congressman was, then reported it. And I don't know the first outlet that picked up on the story itself, but Punch Bowl News, the first outlet that had the photo of the congressional office.
This was later verified by The Hill, a longtime news publication on Capitol Hill. And I want to make sure that you understand that that Derek Van Orton, Congressman Derek Van Orton, Republican from Prairie du Chien, does not dispute these accusations. He isn't saying, he is not disputing that he said this. So he's basically confirming that he said these things to these teenagers, and it was late at night, the Senate was still in session, and Van Orton had, this part is allegedly, all we know is that there were photographs of several bottles of alcohol in his office. He does not dispute that either. He confirms that's a real photo. But according to him, he had several constituents and staff, and they were drinking together, and then he gave them a tour of the Capitol, which is his right to do as a member of Congress. And they came through the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol, where there were a few pages from the Senate side who were teenagers, who were on their next to last day being interns in the U.S. Capitol. Now, understand, these are high school kids, usually not paid or paid very little. And they do things like get coffee or lunch for the senators, or they bring them, you know, paperwork or whatever, hold the doors open for them. They're not glorious jobs, but they're cool jobs for high school kids. And if you've ever been to the state capitol in Madison, you understand what a beautiful, magnificent building it is. And you look up into the rotunda, into the dome, and people lay down on the floor of the Wisconsin state capitol all the time to take photos of the dome. Unfortunately, in Washington, unless you go on a specific tour, that part of the Capitol is not open to the public generally. But the staff was out there doing the exact same thing, laying down, looking up, getting a good photo, because it's the next to last day they want to get a good photo before they go back home to the respective states. These kids are nominated by both Democrats and Republicans, senators from their home states, to come to Washington to have this great experience. And Van Orten, after whether he was drunk or not, that part's alleged, but confirms he was drinking at least, comes upon these teenagers and starts going after him. And I have to be very careful because we're not going to, don't worry, Luke, he's also our executive producer, we're not going to violate any FCC laws. And I apologize if this seems a little rough, but just like with some of the Trump things, I think it's important for everyone to understand what a city member of Congress from Wisconsin actually said. So as Luke said, one of these pages, immediately after it happened, wrote this down to make sure it was accurate. And again, Derek Van Orten is not disputing the accuracy of these comments. This is reading from The Hill. Quote, the pages are a group of 16 and 17-year-olds who assist operations. And when the Senate works late, as it did Wednesday night on National Defense Authorization Act amendments, pages generally rest nearby in the rotunda. And here's the quote, and I'll go slowly so I don't mess up. Quote, wake the F up, you little S's. What the F are you all doing? Get the F out of here. You are defiling the space, you pieces of S, Van Orten said, according to the account provided by the page. Quote, who the F are you? Van Orten asked, to which one person said they were Senate pages. Quote, I don't give an F who you are. Get out. You jackasses, get out, he added. Unquote. I know that's rough. I know some people are going to say, well, why did you read that? Because I want everyone to understand how serious this is. If that kid was yours, if that was your child, your high school kid, your high school granddaughter, grandson, anywhere else, and their boss talked to them like that, what would you say? Now, Van Orten is trying to defend himself, saying that there were dead Civil War Union soldiers buried under the Capitol, and they were defiling the space by laying on their graves. That's patently false. The U.S. Capitol was used as a makeshift hospital during the Civil War. There are no dead soldiers buried under the U.S. Capitol. This guy is unhinged. And remember, it started on January 6, 2021. Where Derek Van Orten took a picture of himself in front of the U.S. Capitol on Facebook and let people see it. He claims he didn't go inside, but we have a litany of things that he did do. Provable. And we're going to go through them in a minute. But first, to the phones, let's go to Mark in the sack. Mark, we appreciate you. Go ahead.
Mark. Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Am I on the line?
You are. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I just find this pretty disgusting that he did this stuff. I mean, the jackassery that he's displaying here and the lack of self-control that he showed in this particular case shows he's got no business being in the he has no business being a congressman, period. I mean, the lack of judgment in this particular case here should make people question whether he should actually be there or not.
Yep, Mark, I totally agree. I don't mean to, I always love you. If you want to call back, I love to take more of your calls. I have another caller just has a few moments, so I'm going to get to her as well. But Mark, totally agree with you. Call back if you want. Dana, I know in La Crosse, in the 3rd Congressional District, appreciate you listening on the Eagle up there in La Crosse. I know you have a few moments. What say you?
Hey, thanks, Todd. First time calling. I've been listening to you for a while. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, we appreciate it. Go ahead.
I think I got this Van Orten guy pegged. You know, he was on a tour with friends of his, And so what I see is he was intoxicated, and he was showing off. That's what it was. He was trying to show off a little bit of power to his buddies while he was giving them a show. He thought he could, you know, take it out on some kids. If you remember, he had that episode in the library down here in Prairie du Chien.
Yep.
Over the LGBT, over the book display, he berated some kids there. So the guy's got a tendency, and he's just not a good person. And I really don't see him being reelected. I think he's going to be a short time for us all. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Hey, I really appreciate you calling. Thank you for the call. We really appreciate your listenership up on one of our new stations up there in La Crosse, WLCX, the Eagle in La Crosse. Appreciate that. Let's go up to Eau Claire in the 3rd District as well. Jeannie in Eau Claire, always great to hear from you. Jeannie, what say you?
Well, guys, I'll tell you something. This is just gets my blood pressure going. This guy demonstrates abusive behavior, utilizing profanity on juveniles. I mean, this guy is one sick dog, and he is my representative. And it's putrid, but you know what he does? He grants all kinds of interviews to local television stations. When he was in trouble one other time, he quick had some kind of thing that he was working for the vets, and because he called, I think his office calls him, but I'm going to check it out, because he's always got one up, like he's doing this great stuff, and they do not cover his reprehensible behavior. I mean, he is just unbelievable. We should kick him out now. There should be ethics violations against us. Those poor kids should not have to suffer with a depraved individual like this man. So anyway,
Jeannie,
it's a rotten thing.
I always appreciate you calling. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're a retired member of the Eau Claire School District, correct? Jeannie hung up. I believe she was. I was just going to ask her. I mean, if this were a teacher, right? If an educator went off like that, I mean, what the world would happen to that person with high school kids?
Yeah, this is inappropriate behavior, to say the least, and right. it's something we got to be talking about.
Yeah, someone calling here. What's DVO? I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Derek Van Orden.
Oh, geez. See, I don't know it well enough to. That's the abbreviation for him.
That is the way, very similar to other individuals that go by three names, like AOC, LBJ.
He's not that big.
Well, online, rather than spelling out Derek Van Orden every time, there has been a inclination to just sum it up as DVO online.
That's why I have a young brain like Luke around and Mr. Zomers.
Exactly.
So we have a. I appreciate the text line here on the app. Don't forget, you could download the app on either your Apple or Android device. Just type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It takes less than a minute. It's also free. It's what Gail King calls a deal. On the text line from WMDX here in Madison, says a Madison plumber here. What does it mean that DVO, Derek Van Orten, was rebuked? Great question. We're going to get to that with Trigvi Olson after the break. And this is really important, that both Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, and Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, both came out and rebuked Derek Van Orten. And incidentally, Mitch McConnell said that every member of the Senate Republican caucus rebuked him, including Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. We're going to ask another former Republican, Trigvi Olson, who knows the 3rd District well. It's his home area. Back with him and more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Lobel Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
News brief, a toppled tree almost killed an elderly couple during a powerful storm last night. WJZ-TV reporter Jessica Albert in Whitehall, Maryland.
We were just thankful the Lord was looking after them.
A Harford County couple in their 70s, lucky to be alive after a massive tree in their backyard fell onto their home during Monday night's storm.
The Air Force has found unsafe levels of a likely cancer-causing chemical at a nuclear missile base in Montana. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says the sites need to be cleaned up.
This has all got to be done while at the same time maintaining to some degree the operational readiness of these particular facilities, because these are part of our land-leg nuclear deterrent. and critical to overall U.S. national security.
In San Antonio, a teen's been arrested for allegedly threatening to shoot up a school. Reporter Chris Fox.
The family of 17-year-old Nathan Cruz called police saying he was planning to do the same thing as his cousin, Salvador Ramos, who killed 19 students and two teachers in Uvalde.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, deep-fried old-fashioned, or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
99 bottles of beer is a lot. 99 bottles of beer.
Welcome back to the Tall Bell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:33 across the state of Wisconsin, particularly in the 3rd Congressional District. We cover nearly the entire 3rd Congressional District now across Civic Media. Mr. Mathers with a fine song there, talking about this incident at the United States Capitol on Wednesday. And there was, and it's important to remember, Congressman Derek Van Orten is not disputing either the photo that has been put on social showing several bottles of booze in his office in the U.S. Capitol, also not disputing the quote that I read you before the break, the profanity-laced quote with the F-bombs and the S-words, not denying any of that. But people like former Governor Scott Walker and Joe Hendrick and others are tweeting out, trying to make it about this alcohol, trying to say, well, you know, all Wisconsinites drink alcohol. Well, not all. What they're forgetting is this verbal abuse against teenagers. We're going to go through more of this, but before we do, we're going to bring in our ongoing contributor on Wednesday. He is a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, a native of River Falls area in Wisconsin, a longtime Republican staffer, particularly in the 3rd District, along with myself. Like myself, we've both since left the Republican Party. Trigvi Olson, appreciate you making this time for us on a special appearance in what I think is not just the top story in the state, but as you and I discussed last night, it is increasingly a national story.
Wow. It's a national story when Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer and the entire Republican caucus rebukes you for acting like Clint Eastwood in, you know, the movie where he's the grumpy old man on his lawn. Get off my lawn. I mean, that's Derek Van Orten, right? Apparently, exactly. You get a few drinks and get the F off my lawn. He's not, clearly he's not the guy you want as your neighbor if you have kids in Western Wisconsin.
But before I go on, I just want to interrupt. For people who haven't heard, here's the quick reply from the Senate leader last night. Democrat Chuck Schumer said, quote, "I understand that late last night, a member of the House majority thought it appropriate to curse at some of these young people, these teenagers in the rotunda. I was shocked when I heard about it. I am further shocked at his refusal to apologize to these young people." And immediately following, Republican leader Mitch McConnell, who Trigvi did some work for, he said this, yep, quote, "I want to associate myself with the remarks of the majority leader. Everybody on this side of the aisle feels exactly the same way," unquote. Trigvi, explain the importance and significance of those two quotes.
Well, in a city and era where we don't have a lot of bipartisan agreement, the fact that both Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer are saying, you know, that acting, again, telling a bunch of kids to get off your lawn when it isn't even your lawn because you've been boozing it up in your office, probably is not winning exactly the way that he thinks it is.
Who would have thought that Derek Van Orten could have brought us together?
It's like, honestly, like Joe and Scott and all these guys, you know, I worked on Capitol Hill early on in my career when Steve Gunderson was representing the 3rd, and I will tell you, as the low man on the totem pole in the office, like at the very bottom rung, I was the guy who had to walk down on Friday and get the beer from the liquor store. And we'd go in the back and everybody have a beer and, you know, decompress and talk about the week. So that part of it is less shocking to me, mm-hmm, than quite frankly how they're responding and what they're trying to make this about. It's outrageous. You know, everybody in Wisconsin drinks. Well, yeah, a lot of people in Wisconsin like to have a few beers. I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. But like to use that as a cop out and to try and make this that they're attacking beer drinkers, when in reality Derek Van Orten should just do the decent thing. He should apologize. Mm-hmm. Don't be the get off my lawn neighbor that no one in Prairie du Chien or across Western Wisconsin wants to have. Be the bigger person. Be the Navy SEAL that you try and purport to be, a man of integrity and honor. But he's not.
Well, that's what's so weird. And you and I both, I know, have a lot of respect. When I worked for Congressman Scott Klug for 4 years, I handled military affairs, spent time in the Capitol, spent time on Capitol Hill. Huh. I did not serve, but I have the utmost respect for everyone who put on the uniform and did. And so this is not to take away from Derek Van Orten's service to country, but what I find odd, Trigvi, and you tell me in your travels if you feel the same way, usually you work for John McCain, a national, mm-hmm, American war hero. Usually it's the guys who don't say a lot about their service who saw the worst. The guys who continued to brag about it really didn't do that much.
Yeah, that's usually the thing. I mean, McCain, obviously, because he was such a high profile figure, but he didn't really talk about it a lot. And when he would talk about it, it wasn't in terms of his own heroics. He always talked about it in terms of the greatest men he ever knew. And I can tell you, having spent some time around him during the campaign in 07 and 08, and when I was working for him at IRI, he was happiest when he was with those guys that he had literally been through, I don't know what words I'm allowed to use, yeah, on the radio or not, but like, you know, the Hanoi Hilton was a pretty nasty place. So, yeah, you know, but those guys were the people that he formed a bond with, and he wouldn't talk about it a lot. I just think, I mean, honestly, with Van Orten, he loves to tell us about his background, and that's great. But what do people really know about him beyond that? And I'll tell you what they now know. People in the Wisconsin, across the 3rd District, should know this guy is embarrassing them.
Right.
He's embarrassing them. And why should they be surprised? This is a guy who was at the Capitol on January 6th. He says he didn't go in. I believe that that must be the case because he hasn't been tried as somebody who went in, but he was there. And so why should we be surprised? It's embarrassing. If you're a Republican who's not part of the MAGA cult, you should think about this. This guy is an embarrassment, which is why I called you last night and said I'd love to come on and talk about that. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the state of Wisconsin back home. It's embarrassing. He isn't going to have people in the Senate or in the House who are going to want to work with him the way that people wanted to work with Steve Gunderson or Ron Kind or Scott Klug or even, you know, Steele or any of the others. Because who's going to want to work with somebody who's like that?
I don't know too many people. Let's go to the phones quickly. We have joining us our colleague and host of the Great Maggie Dawn Show from 6 until 7 across the Civic Media Network. She is an attorney herself calling from Milwaukee. Maggie Dawn, always great to have you along. Great program yourself. Thanks for taking the time to call in. What say you?
Thanks, Todd. Really, really appreciative that you took my call. Two things. First is, I think, from time to time, while we should always honor and lift up and elevate and be very thankful for the service of anyone who spent time in the military, especially those who've been captured in action like Senator McCain, it is okay to laud service and applaud Mr. Van Orton for stepping up, but that does not and should not inoculate them from criticism, as we're doing today. John McCain cheated on his wife, Cindy. It's widely reported. He had some massive ethical lapses. He claimed to sort of be about clean government. That was basically baloney. If you need detail on this, Steve Schmidt's blog, he basically ran McCain's 08 campaign, is just scathing about this. I say all of this to simply say, Representative Van Orton's actions are entirely disqualifying. You get drunk with your buddies and cuss out a bunch of volunteers who are working in the state capitol when you yourself participated in a violent attempt to overthrow our government. How dare you, sir?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for taking my call, Todd. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you calling in, and people can join you tonight from 6 until 7 across the Civic Media Radio Network on a rerun, because you don't have a new show on Friday, but they can listen to another Best Of show, correct?
Exactly. All right. It should be a barn burner tonight, all right, as always.
Thanks for taking the call. Good time, Maggie. Thank you so much. Trigby, here's the question I have, is that for a guy who promotes his military service, usually you've run presidential campaigns and everything in between. Mm-hmm. You don't hear a lot about those who served with Derek Van Orton stepping up to help his campaign.
No, you don't. I mean, John McCain, Maggie mentioned Steve Schmidt. Well, Steve Schmidt can tell you. I mean, John McCain was given up for finished in 2007. And what he ended up doing, which might have been Steve's moment of brilliance, was Steve suggested to McCain that he get out with his buddies who he served in the Hanoi Hilton with and go drive around to Iowa and stay in Super 8s and just enjoy life a little bit in New Hampshire. And that's what they did. Bud Day and all these guys. Yeah. And I mean, these guys are like people who've won the Congressional Medal of Honor and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. These are true heroes. I haven't ever seen that with Van Orton. I don't know. Maybe they do go out and campaign for him, but I haven't ever seen it in the way that was true with McCain. The other thing I would say, you know, Maggie alluded to some of the stuff with McCain. Here's the thing. John McCain understood that he was a deeply flawed human being, and he was the first one to admit it. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you, having been on the receiving end on one occasion, actually two, of John McCain's temper when something wasn't going right, that it was not pretty. But I can also tell you the thing about it is he said he was sorry afterwards that he lost his temper. And the contrast between that and Derek Van Orton is staggering to me. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And
it's embarrassing. He's embarrassed himself. And honestly, he should just man up and find those kids and say, hey, I lost my temper. I'm sorry. And he should be a role model to those kids, not a demagogue trying to create a scandal of his own making that gets him on Fox News so he can be a talking head. Because Derek Van Orten is a classic case. Tommy Thompson used to always say, two kinds of politicians, those who want to do and those who want to be. Derek Van Orten clearly is demonstrating himself to be one who just wants to be. And the people who are defending him, like Scott Walker, are also the kind of politicians. They don't really want to do anything. They just want to be somebody.
I know you got to hop off after this this segment, so I want to get to this quickly. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to go through kind of the litany of things that Derek Van Orten has public, their public record. And some of these things from attacking during the campaign, attacking a private citizen online, threatening to publish their personal information, going after another teenager in Prairie du Chien at the library for having a gay pride display, you know, being arrested or charged by the TSA for having a loaded 9mm in an Iowa airport. And then calling, saying that leftists, quote unquote, cannot be Christian, and saying that he supports gay people, but then brags about being part of a church that equates homosexuality with bestiality and incest. And then this temper, I mean, it just seems to add up. We talked about this on Wednesday in the couple of minutes we have left. This to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm overstating this, it seems like this is the guy, this is the kind of guy that's been radicalized.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, he wouldn't have been at the Capitol on January 6th if he weren't. I mean, that's what we talked about on Wednesday. I think here's the foundational question that I think you all should be asking, and people should be asking. The major donors in the business community in the 3rd District, he's from Prairie du Chien, I would suspect, I don't know this, but that they're, you know, there's some pretty big businesses that are based in Prairie du Chien, and they have tradition of supporting Republican candidates. All those business people, like, for example, the ones that have a very prominent chain of gas stations across the state of Wisconsin that's based in Prairie du Chien. If they have been giving money to Derek Van Orten, people should be asking, why are you giving money to somebody that's embarrassing the state? And quite frankly, by extension, if the owners or the former owners or business people are supporting somebody like that, it's embarrassing to their reputations.
Exactly. And you and I both worked in politics at the state and federal level. Yes.
I don't even like going after donors. I really don't.
But this
is embarrassing because
it's embarrassing. But you and I worked in politics long enough. Yes, our own bosses probably use profanity. Guys like the late great Michael Ellis, you know, he was famous for it. But you know what? Oh. Mike Ellis never went after kids. He never went after teenagers, and that's to me what makes it sick and abusive.
Yes, completely. And honestly, they would always figure out a way, whether it was Mike Ellis or Tommy or any of them.
Dale Schultz.
They'd always figure out a way Schultz. Right. They would always figure out, if they lost their temper with you, a way to make it right.
Exactly. And apologize.
He is unwilling. And in these cases, these weren't even employees of his. These are just kids.
Exactly. Trigvy Olson, really appreciate you taking the time. Appreciate your perspective. Join us next Wednesday for more Trigvy. Stay tuned now for your calls and more after this on the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Trivi. Really, really appreciate it.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court document. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe.
and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. A calm weather day for your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high 85. Tonight, partly to mostly clear, the low around 60. Heading into Wednesday, we'll start with some sunshine. Clouds will build for the afternoon, a few spotty showers and storms, high 84. Right now, it's 58.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Tahlaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Luke Mathers, our co-host, engineer, and producer this hour, in for the vacationing Mr. Zommers. I want to thank Travy Olson from the Lincoln Project for making time for us on a special appearance today. He'll be back in his regular time slot next Wednesday, just after the 1 o'clock hour. Really great insight. Because Travy grew up in the western part of the state in the 3rd District. He worked for former Congressman Steve Gunderson, 16-year Republican congressman that represented the 3rd District with distinction. He and I have worked on, I was trying to think how many races, Republican races, I have worked on in the 3rd District over the, not just Congress, but for Assembly, for State Senate. There's a lot. So we are in a couple of, you know, and nothing wrong with being a lefty or progressive, but the point is we're not a couple of lefties here attacking a sitting Republican. We're people that actually were out there and have got helped elect several Republicans and have since left the party. Well, the party left us. That's more accurate. What we're talking about, if you're just joining us, is the sitting incumbent congressperson, Derek Van Orten, Republican from Prairie du Chien, on Wednesday night going through the state capitol, giving a tour with supposedly constituents after imbibing in some alcohol, allegedly drunk. We don't know that. But he at least has admitted that the photo shared on social media was in fact accurate, that there were several bottles of alcohol in his office, came upon several teenagers, well, not several, but at least some Senate pages. And according to, and it's important to remember that none of this is being disputed by Congressman Van Orten. He doesn't dispute that it happened. And I'm not going to read the whole quote again, but just according to The Hill, these were 16 and 17-year-old high school kids who were there for a summer internship. It was a couple of days before they were going to go home, and they were laying on the ground in the rotunda in order to look up and take photos of the U.S. Capitol Dome as a remembrance, which is a common occurrence both in Madison and in D.C. as a former legislative staffer myself. And Van Orten happened upon these Senate pages. And one line, wake the F up, you little S's. And it went on from there. And numerous times he uses the F word and the S word, calls them jackasses, and says to get out of here. Van Orten does not dispute any of that happened. And he's trying to say, well, you know, I was defending the burial site of Confederate soldiers, saying there were soldiers buried, or Confederate, Union soldiers buried under the Capitol. False. It was used as a hospital during the Civil War. And he won't apologize. And here's the thing. Both Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, went to the Senate floor and rebuked Derek Van Orten. And the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, said that everyone, including U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, felt the same way. Everyone. And if you work in either Madison's capital, the state capital, or in the federal capital, it's very territorial, all right? If you work for the House, you're a House person. And if you work for the Senate, you're a Senate person. And it's very unusual for a member of one body to come upon anybody involved in the other body and take action. The normal course of action is you would go to the House Sergeant of Arms or the House Chief Clerk or a House Leader and say, here's what these people from your body did. You fix it. Very unusual. And as seen by a rare time of unanimity between Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, they do not take kind for their institution being attacked by a member of the opposite house. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go up to the Buzz of the North, our brand new station in beautiful Hayward. And from Hayward, Kurt, we appreciate you listening and calling in. Kurt, what say you?
I was wondering, did every 16, 17, 18-year-old I know of carries a phone around? Do they have any videotape of it?
None has surfaced that I know of, but again, this individual, these pages wrote this down, and again, Van Orton has been asked by numerous press. He has not denied that he said any of that.
Okay, I don't think I've seen a 17-year-old in 3 years who hasn't had a phone with them. And also, I was wondering, when did the Republican Party leave you exactly, and you dropped out?
Sure, I'll answer both of those before the break here. Just to clarify on not having a phone, it's been a while. I haven't worked in the House since 1998. And it may be, there are rules in both the House and the Senate. It may be a Senate rule that the pages can't have cell phones with them. Luke?
I took a tour recently, and you cannot take any electronics like that onto the Senate floor. So I'm assuming if they were, the Senate was in session, and they were going back and forth between the rotunda and the Senate chamber, that yes, they would have been without a phone, because it's not something that you can bring into the Senate chamber.
Yeah, so that would be my guess, Kurt. That, but a great point. But that's a great point.
I've seen senators with their phones.
Senators can.
They're allowed. Members are allowed. Pages and staff are not.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But you were in the Republican Party in Wisconsin 25 years ago?
No, for 25 years. I got involved in 1980 when I was 12 years old at the Ronald Reagan race and Steve Gunderson and Bob Kasten. And I left in 2011 after serving with State Senator Dale Schultz, who was a majority leader for a while, after I was part of a Republican closed caucus in which they were discussing the so-called voter ID bills. And they said in closed caucus that the purpose of them was to decrease voting for places like college campuses in Milwaukee, which meant black and brown people. And I was sickened by that, to watch a party that I had worked for so long, and it was not everybody in the room, but several. And I couldn't simply be a part of a party that was working to take people's constitutional rights away. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And that's why I left.
I was fortunate enough to be able to ask Governor Doyle what he thought about voter ID. And of course, he was against it. His mother was for it.
That's fine. And you know what? I'm fine with having voter ID. Don't get me wrong. If people want to have, but what we have in Wisconsin is not just voter ID, but they took steps such as closing DMVs, not allowing college IDs, making it very, very hard for young people and older people and minority people to vote in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm okay with having a voter ID, but it has to be one that's easily accessible, legal, but easily accessible. And so that's why I left the party, because it simply no longer represents. And since then, now it really is a Republican Party. It's become the party of Donald Trump, which is something I absolutely rebuke and don't agree with. Kurt, thanks for the call. Appreciate you in Hayward. Stay tuned now. Hour number two, Luke and I will go through what's happening. Extremism and a possible U.S. government shutdown. Trump, new charges, and Friday freebies or something like that. We have state fair tickets to give away in the next hour. And Luke Mathers, don't go anywhere now. This is the Todd Allball Show. Hour number two on the way across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original Cream Puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in.